Today is your day. It's a day to say thank you for loving us, caring for us, and guiding us. It's a day to recognize all you do and all you are to us. Your perfect, wonderful, amazing children. Thanks for all the early mornings and for taking care of the things we take for granted. Thanks for never giving up on us, even when we stress you out. Thanks for making sure we have what we need and for giving us your heart even when you're sick and tired. Thanks for working hard even when we're a handful and for loving us unconditionally when our attitude is anything but lovable. You're our everything, Mom, and we'd be a mess without you. Today, we thank God for the wonderful gift of you. Happy Mother's Day.
Well, happy Mother's Day. Isn't that reality, that last slide right there? We are so grateful that you're here, and we want to say happy Mother's Day to everyone. Obviously, we're not Pastor Eric. We're a panel of women up here speaking on behalf of women for women on Mother's Day, and then you'll get to hear Pastor Eric after we go. But we will just want to say welcome. How many of you were at the Coffee and Connect yesterday here at the church? Yeah, it was a good time. Thank you, events team, for allowing us to have a space and an opportunity to gather together to get to know one another more. It was really refreshing and just an awesome opportunity. And so this morning, we have a panel discussion. We're going to talk about being a mom from different seasons of life that we're all walking in. But that doesn't mean, guys, that you can check out. Okay, so dial in, listen for those little nuggets of wisdom that are going to help you to love on your wife and the ladies in your life some more. So we hope that each one receives something today. I want to go around and just have the ladies introduce themselves. So Bobby, you want to start? Share a little bit about you and your family.
Hi, my name is Bobby. I have been at Freedom Church for about 4 years, and I have one daughter who is 24. She's a NICU nurse at West Penn. And I'm super happy to be here.
Hi, I'm Amy. I have 4 kids. The oldest is not in the photo. He's 18. And then I have a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old. And so we're really busy. All boys. So it's quite chaotic. But yeah, I've been at Freedom since we've launched.
Hi, I'm Gina. I've been here probably about 3 years. So I have 3 adult children, 46, 43, and 40, and then I have 7 grandkids.
Beautiful picture.
Hi, I'm Kelly, and I've been here since we've launched, and I have twin 12-year-olds, and we live in the Murraysville area, and I run the Goddard School down the street.
Awesome. And I think most of you know my family, but we have 3 kids, and 1 on the way. So Dalton, our oldest, is 15. Then we have Judah, who's holding the sign that says there's a new baby girl on the way. He's 4, and Eden is 2. And I'm sitting up here with my big belly. I'm due any day. So pray, not today, and pray the baby comes before June. She's due in May, so I'm hoping she gets here before June. But yeah, it's so good to be able to speak from different perspectives, different seasons of life. And we really pray that you can grab a hold of something that the Lord is speaking to you today. So I want to start off with an easy question. What is the best part about being a mom? Who wants to go first? Okay.
So I, even after a Christian, I found a lot of my worth and identity in my roles, whether it be as an employee and performing well at my job, and then for the time that I was married as a wife, and then when I had my daughter as a mother. But the danger in that is that when you feel like you haven't met the standard that you want to, your world can really crumble, and you can feel just unworthy and like a total failure. And so I feel like one of my favorite parts is that motherhood is such a canvas for the work that God can do, and that's the work that he's done in me since I've become a mom. I don't think that I would be the person I am today if God hadn't worked in me and helped me to grow in the way that he did from that role as a mother, which I love. It's my favorite thing to do, but it also doesn't define me, which is really a blessing.
So So I was working full-time with two of the kids up until a couple years ago, and I remember hearing the babysitter downstairs, like, playing with my kids and having fun and doing, like, all of, like, the daily activities with them. And I remember thinking, like, I'm kind of jealous. Like, why am I not able to do that with them? And so I presented that to my husband, and we started praying, and we knew it would be an incredibly hard financial leap of faith for us. But we started praying, and I was like, well, let me quit my job and become a stay-at-home mom. And I realized that the Lord actually gave me that desire in my heart to be a stay-at-home mom. That wasn't something that was natural. And so I now am home with my kids full-time, and I just love that I don't miss anything. I don't miss any of their developments. I don't miss any of their milestones. I get to be there for the good, the bad, the sad, the happy, the hard days. I just feel like this is a young phase of their life that I didn't want to miss. And so I love being able to be present every day and get to do all the things with my kids and watch them grow into their person. They're so different, each of them, and so it's really cool to see, like, daily how they are becoming their own young men.
Yeah, I feel like we're in the same season with being able to be home with our littles, so that's fun that we get to connect in that way. Gina, how about you?
Well, so my kids are all out of the house, and they're grown, and they have their own families, but I really enjoy just seeing how their growth, how they're all, well, most of them, two of the three are in the church. My grandkids love going to church. We took them to Winterfest. That was the picture up there, and didn't know if they'd like it or not, but they were crazy. They loved it. They loved the music. They didn't want it to end. So, yeah, and just how God blesses them. Like, we are astounded when we see the things that are happening to them, and we know it's the Lord.
For me, I've always wanted to be a mom, so it was a little bit of a challenge actually having children. So we had a little bit of infertility and some miscarriages and things like that. So, but I do believe that God created that all, and he brought two beautiful children into this world, and just so grateful that he gave me the opportunity to be their mother. And this season of life, they are 12, and so they got to come with me to the school that I run. So having them there, that helped with that need to want to be with them and still be able to work and pour into all those other children and kind of be like a mother away from home for them. So, yeah, just so blessed that God gave me the ability to be a mom.
That's such a blessing. And I can definitely relate with the infertility issues. I was reflecting back over the past couple days leading into today and just thinking about Mother's Day over the years. There were about 4 years where I dreaded Mother's Day because Eric and I were trying to have kids and we couldn't, and it was just so painful. And I was trying to be joyful for everybody else and stay thankful that I had a stepson, Dalton, that I loved dearly, and but I still felt like illegitimate and just, like, I wanted my own kids. And so Mother's Day was a hard day. And I think that for some of us, maybe that's your scenario. Mother's Day is a hard day for various reasons. And we want to encourage you. The Lord is good, right? And I've been able to look back and just realize that the pain of those 4 years is gone, that the Lord has redeemed and restored and given me blessings and given me kids. And I know that's not everybody's story, but God will show up in different ways. And blessing. So he always does. He's a good God. Amen. So we're going to keep talking about some of those hardships at being a mom, because it's not easy. The ins and outs of every day are tough. And so I want to hear from each of you in your season in this current walk. What's the hardest part about being mom?
So as I said, my daughter is grown. And the early years with Rachel and Amy, it's so exhausting. it's hard to find the energy to even make it through the day. But then what I found is that as your kids get older, it's emotionally exhausting. As they become more independent, you're more scared when they drive and when they are just out there, when you don't, quite frankly, have as much control over their lives. And so now what I find the most challenging is when my daughter's heart is breaking, when she's sad, when she's not able to, when she's not feeling joy, when she's struggling. And I can't fix it anymore. You know, you can't fix it the way that when your kid scrapes their knee, you can hug them and love them and put a Band-Aid on and make it all better. It's probably why I serve in kids' ministries, because I can do that there. In the earlier session, the women started talking about the flip side of their struggle. And the flip side of that is being able to see my daughter manage through those things herself and become a strong woman. And I'm able to model how she's able to do that. So while it's challenging and it can be difficult, it's also amazing.
Yeah, so I'm exhausted in that stage of life. Three under six is a lot of needs at once, and they all think that their need is most important. All day. So that in itself is hard. And then I do work part-time from the house with the kids at home. And so I have to kind of put that hat on, and I homeschool the kids. And so I'm doing that. And then, you know, wanting to be an active and present wife for my husband and serve the house in that way. And so I feel like I'm wearing hats all day. Mom, teacher mom, work mom, janitor mom, all of the things. And so just the daily balance, literally every day, of like, what does the schedule look like today? And what do I need to prioritize? Who comes first? Whose need is more important right now? But on the flip side of that, I do feel like I'm living the dream. I am like filled with joy to be able to be a mom. I get to be a mom, and I just think that that's amazing. I love my husband, and so I get to serve my husband. And so, yeah, I just feel like I'm living the dream that God has really put in my heart. So
that's awesome. Very cool. Gina.
Yeah, it's changed for us. I mean, the paradigm changed. We're no longer in the front seat driving. We're in the back seat now. So that's that's really kind of hard to adjust to. Because you've put so much into your kids. And so, like you said, every victory is your victory. Every disappointment is your disappointment. But right now, I think our job is just to pray for them, to pray for their strength, encouragement, to surround God, surround them with people who love them and care for them, their protection. And there's a joy watching them grow up. You see all the changes they're making as an adult. So, yeah, it's kind of freeing, too, you know? So,
a whole process of letting go, right?
I love that. Yeah, I would agree with you. Now that the children are 12, it's gotten easier, so there is hope. I know it's really struggle in the beginning. But, yeah, when they're really young, meeting all their needs and things like that, that can be very challenging. But now we're on the other end of it now, and they're pouring into us, which is really awesome. So everything that we hope that we're instilling in them and in the love of God is coming back to us, and they are doing that for us too when we have challenges. So awesome.
So awesome. These hardships are awesome. I would say for me, you know, I didn't realize that I was an angry person until, or I had anger in me, I should say, until my 2-year-old looked at me and said, no. And then those emotions that come up can be hard to manage. And managing your kids' emotions at the same time. So all of that emotional regulation has been tough in these younger years, and trying to help them and also work on myself at the same time. Another hardship that I think is just so common with us as women is comparison. I don't know if everyone can relate. Hopefully everyone can relate, because I feel like I compare myself to other moms and feel like I come up short. Oh, I'm not like her, or I'm not as good at this, or I'm not good at cleaning, or whatever it might be. But I think we can often compare ourselves and then end up feeling that mom guilt and mom shame. So I want to hear from you. Are there struggles in that area? Have there been changes since social media?
You know, when I was growing up and my kids were growing up, we had like this little TV, and it was plastic, and it had antenna on it, and you got maybe 6 channels. So you controlled kind of what came in your house. You had the newspaper, came in the morning or in the afternoon. You had a phone that was attached to the wall, so you couldn't go privately and talk somewhere. You were out in a public space. So it's really changed in that you could really control what came into your house and what influenced your house.
I would say for me, speaking of that, how it is now with social media, and it's all over the place and things, and it's really quick to be like, oh, I want to have that life. I want to have that relationship. I want to have that vacation and all that. So that comparison and maybe do things the way that mother does it definitely is more so now than it ever has been. And the way I combat that is I try my best to always just remember God gave me them. And it they are specifically made for me to be a mom to. And, you know, I don't have to be like all those other moms. I don't have, like, he chose me. So that's, there's freedom in that, you know, to be able to know that I however he made me to mother them, that's what he wants for them. So I don't have to really look at, oh, that's a really great activity. That's a really great thing. Maybe I should do it. Man, I never thought of doing that. And feel mom guilt about it. You know, I didn't plan that, you know. Now it's more like, okay, like, those are great options, but, like, let's see what works for our family, you know. And, you know, I spend a lot of time, you know, pouring into other people's kids for long days with the shift that I, like, the director job that I have. So I would have this thing, we called it Wacky Wednesday. So every Wednesday night we did something. And even if it was a flop, it was like 5-10 minutes of an uninterrupted time with them. And so our goal was to always do something that was basically free and just spend time together. So sometimes it turned into an hour or two, and other times it was like, okay, that was just a few minutes making a fort together, you know. But that's how I found that that worked best for us.
That's so good. Yeah, and I think keeping our eyes on what has the Lord spoken to us about our family, you know, just keeping our eyes on him and really asking the Lord, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing for my family in this season, is so helpful for combating that comparison, because some of the images that we see aren't even real now, right? So it's so hard to know what, you know, just looking and seeing and comparing, it steals our joy, right? It steals our joy. So let's shut off our phones at times. Let's set the phones down. Let's keep our eyes fixed on what the Lord has for our specific family. Good. So in those struggles, what are some ways that you have found time to stay close to God? Obviously, that's so important as a mom. Our relationship with the Lord, being filled up with him so that we can pour out his love into others. So what are some ways that you have found some rhythms or some habits to stay close to the Lord?
Yeah, I'll share on this. I do fight for it daily. I do think that's crucial. It's important. My kids sleep in, which I feel really grateful for that, so I get the mornings to myself. But I do intentionally wake up before my kids and read scripture, just me and God alone. And then, fortunately, I get to incorporate that throughout the day, like within our curriculum and stuff, like Bible studies and praying. Something that was like super heavy on my heart this morning was a couple of days ago, Phoenix asked me, why do we pray and read the Bible every day? Like, what's the point of that? And I said, well, what if you woke up one morning and you just went into the kitchen and you got yourself breakfast, and I'm sitting on the chair, and you walk right past me and you get your breakfast and you come into the room and you start watching TV. I'm sitting there in the same room with you, and you're just doing your own thing, and then you go get dressed and you start playing a game and you go outside and you do all these things, and I'm sitting right there with you, but yet you're not talking to me, you're not engaging with me, you're not asking me to participate with you. Like, wouldn't that be kind of weird? Like, if we went an entire day and I'm sitting in your presence and you didn't talk to me? And he was like, yeah, like, why would I do that? And I'm like, well, people do that with God. Like, we're in the presence of God, and yet we can go an entire day without engaging in a conversation with him, reading, praying, asking to listen to what he has to say to us. And so I'm like, don't miss the days that be in communication with the Lord. And so I think it's just important to realize, like, he's in our presence. Like, we're in his presence to enjoy his presence on the daily, to thank him for the cereal that we got, you know, to thank him for the house that he's provided. Like, the little things, we get to sit in his presence on a daily.
So good. Bobby, do you have anything you want to add there?
It's, of course, important. I love what you say, Amy, that you have to fight for that time, because we all have to fight for that time, whether you have kids or don't have kids. That time does not just naturally happen. We all have to make it happen. I had a thought here, and I just lost it. Oh, the thought was, to me, prayer is really just what you were saying, talking to God. And so I try to be very purposeful throughout the day just to talk to him. You know, the little victories, like when I don't get mad because I'm frustrated with people on a meeting, I'm like, that is a victory, and thank you, God. You know, staying calm is because of you. So I just try to really, throughout the day, make sure I'm acknowledging him and praising him when I feel like it and praising him when I don't.
It's so good. Yeah, and I feel like throughout the different seasons of life, our schedules and our times with the Lord have changed, right? So I know I'm getting ready to go into sleepless nights and brain dead. And so I remember with my other two having days where I was just like, okay, God, literally all I can say is I love you and help me. Amen. And that's my time with the Lord, because I didn't have anything else to give at that point. And I think the Lord still blesses that and receives that, right? And so, you know, different seasons for each of us, but I think it's really important to be intentional with, where do I have that time? Where can I carve out that time to make sure that I'm being filled up, to make sure that I'm spending time with the Lord, to make sure that I'm hearing the guidance and the wisdom that can only come from Him? There's so much wisdom and guidance that can happen in the world, but His wisdom is the most important, and His guidance is. So, yeah, just encouragement for everybody. Find that time, carve that time out, make sure it's a priority, because it's so important, especially as we're parenting and trying to guide our children in the right way of the Lord. Amen? All right, so quick lightning round here. What encouragement would you give to moms today?
I'll say this for, my encouragement is specifically for either mothers who have not stepped into motherhood yet, or moms with young kids like mine, that we get day one disciples. We get to model to them how to serve the church well, how to love our spouses well, how to give of our time and our talent. I am raising young men. They're going to grow up someday, and Lord willing, they get to be husbands and fathers. Like, it's past this point of, like, 5, 3, and 1. This is generational work. I'm going to be gone someday. My husband's going to be gone. And so what we get to do is participate in kingdom work. And it's just important to be mindful of that. They are going to grow up, and they will have something to add to society. We talk a lot about, like, generational cycles and trauma, which is real, and I'm not taking away from those experiences, but we get to stop that, and we get to start generational fruit and generational blessings. And so it gets to start with us, young moms, that we get to kind of restart for our kids so that they have generations to come that impact the kingdom.
Amen. Bobby?
So I have a different answer than the first service. And which I now, of course, have forgotten. But God spoke it to me, and then it just went out like that. But I think really what I was trying to say is, you know, as moms, we all really feel like we need to be strong for our kids. And of course we do. But what I've realized is we also need to teach our kids how to react when we feel frustrated, how to react when we feel angry, how to react when we feel sad. It is okay to cry. I don't ever want to hear anyone say, "I'm so sorry for crying." That is a valid emotion that God gave us to express how we feel. So take that lie of being strong off of your back, and demonstrate for your kids how to manage through your emotions, because that is a gift that you're giving them. Those are life lessons that you're giving them that will stay with them the rest of their life, that will help them with healthy relationships. So thank you, Lord, for bringing that back to me.
So good. Gina?
Yeah, so recently I get up early, and I'm really tired, so I found some audiobooks that I listen to, and find that they're pretty good. Sometimes in the evening we'll go to YouTube and we find some really good YouTube videos, but, you know, nothing compares to actually reading the Word and writing it down. I mean, that gives, you know, it says the Word does not return void. But that's probably the best advice I can give you. And also, train your kids up in the way of the Lord. Let them know, let them realize how much He loves them. He cares for them. He's so much greater than them. He protects them. He's just.
Amen.
Man, I don't know how to top any of this. This is wonderful. I feel the same way. I think that's my biggest goal in life, is to teach our children about God and for them to go straight to Him for everything. So whether they're having stress at school, whatever it is, you know, that they know to go straight to Him. And then if they see us struggling, we keep things real and raw at home. They come to us now and they're like, "Can I pray over you?" That kind of thing. Like, that's awesome, you know, because I know that's how I learned most about God, is through my mother who's in heaven. And so, like, I always think, like, oh, what gift did she give me? I mean, there's so many. But the biggest gift you can give someone is to teach them about God and what He does for us, and all His sacrifices and everything. So I feel that we're doing a great job as parents with that, but it's definitely something that you have to ask Him for help with. You know, that they are His children, so He gifted us them. I think that's the best advice ever, is to just teach them in the ways of the Lord.
Amen. Teach them the ways of the Lord. So good. Yeah, and if you want to hang out towards the very, very end of service and even longer, you'll see a tantrum Judah. You'll see him crying because he doesn't want to leave church, and what a blessing that is, actually. Even though it's really annoying every Sunday, he's crying. He doesn't want to leave. He loves spending time with his friends and loves being here and loves hearing the word. And even at a young age, he's able to memorize scripture. So I'm just so encouraged by that, realizing that the impact that we can make for eternity in our kids and in the people's lives around us. So what a blessing. I want to say last comments. You've got this, moms. You're doing a great job. Keep going. Don't give up. And also know that you're not alone. You have a church family here. There are women in this room and in the 9 a.m. service that want to help you, to support you, to love on you, to teach you, to walk alongside you in whatever season you're in. And so we just want to encourage you with that. Find someone if you don't have that someone, that there are ladies here that want to be that for you, want to come alongside and encourage you along the way. So with that, I'm going to pray, and then Pastor Eric's going to come up and give us an encouraging word. God, we thank you so much for today. I thank you for all the moms and all the women who are here and who are represented and who are watching online. Lord, I pray a blessing on each one. God, knowing that sometimes seasons are hard, sometimes Mother's Day is hard, and we've all gone through different hardships and different experiences, but God, you are good, and so we just keep focused on you. We keep that eternal perspective, realizing that you are with us, you're guiding us, you're leading us, we are not alone. And so we just thank you so much for that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Put your hands together for the ladies. Great job, moms. I don't know if I can really add much to that, but we're going to give some word today. We love the word, and as mentioned by many of the women here, how important the word of God is. This message is not just for moms. It applies for all of us, and it's going to be very truncated just for time's sake so we can all get to lunch before everyone else if you're going out for that. But how many of you like cooking or baking? Anybody like cooking, baking? All right, come see me afterwards. We'll set up some meal times. No. But how many of you know when you bake something especially, if you forget an ingredient, it can ruin the entire dish, right? When you bake something without baking soda, or you forget the salt on something, it can make the entire dish very unpleasing, and it lacks something when you miss that. But in our Christian lives especially, I believe for everyone, a very important missing ingredient that often we neglect is the ingredient of gratitude, of how important gratitude is in our lives and thankfulness can be in our lives. That changes everything. It really is a highly important ingredient in our lives. And I want to share a psalm with you, and I want to just unpack as much as I can of this psalm. The Psalms were written as songs or poems, primarily in the book of Psalms. There's 150 of them in the Bible. They're all pointing us to God, attributes of God. Some are more historical accounts. Most of them are often devotional or religious in a sense of devotion to God. And Psalm 103 is written by King David. Many of you have heard of King David, know about King David. This was written most likely late in his life, as there's a lot of wisdom in it, and he's looking back on some things and reminding himself of some important truths. So in Psalm 103, verse 1, he says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name." David had to remind himself, he says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord," that everything within me, my entire heart, in different translations says, "Oh, everything within me, bless his holy name. Bless the name of God," that he had to remind himself that God is holy. God is worth our praise. In fact, many of the Psalms, in Psalm 150, says that we were created to praise God, that it's really the reason that we have breath in our lungs is to praise the Lord. That's why praise and worship, I believe, is so, so important for us. In verse 2, King David says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me." How many of you are really good at forgetting things, right? You forget where you put your keys, you forget where you put your phone, you forget where we put stuff, we forget when somebody speaks something to us, but may we never forget the good things that God has done for us. Amen. Yet those are often the things we forget the most quickly, right? The good things in life. We remember the bad things and forget the good things. And gratitude, it's not merely politeness. It's not being polite to God, saying, "God, thank you. God, give you. We give you thanks for the good things you've done for us." It's a spiritual principle that changes our perspective and strengthens our relationship with God. Over 100 times throughout the Bible, we're commanded to give thanks. To give thanks in all circumstances, as 1 Thessalonians says. It doesn't say give thanks for all of your circumstances, but in all circumstances, we can give thanks for God. We're not always thankful for all of the pain, all the trials, all the trauma, all the abuse, all the things that are bad in our lives, but we can still give thanks through all circumstances and in all circumstances. As my wife Rachel mentioned, for 4 years we tried for kids and couldn't have them. Mother's Day was not a good day for her. Mother's Day was a very negative day, and I know some of you here today, you may feel that same way. Mother's Day is not a joyful, happy day. How do you have joy in days and in circumstances where things didn't work out the way you thought they would? Things didn't go the way you had planned. Or maybe you have grown children who are not walking with God, even though you did as best as you could to point them to Jesus. So Mother's Day, yes, it's joyful. It's supposed to be a celebratory day, but many times it can be painful. It can be a grieving day. And we have to learn to choose joy and choose to have gratitude, even in the midst of poor circumstances. Gratitude is one of the most transformative attitudes in the Christian life. It changes how we see God. It changes how we see ourselves, and it changes how we see our circumstances. So three things. When you remember what God has done specifically, gratitude rises. Our gratitude increases when we remember what God has done. And as gratitude increases and rises, faith grows. And as your faith grows, you remember God was faithful then. He will be faithful now. Amen? God is faithful. But we forget. And we get in these circumstances. We get in these times. We question, God, are you really going to show up? God, are you really there? God, are you faithful now? Because it doesn't look like it right now in my circumstances. We need to remember and remind ourselves of what God did previously so that we can have gratitude and thank God for everything he's done in our past. And it builds faith to remember God is still faithful. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. I believe our greatest spiritual danger isn't usually rebellion. It's not actively sinning against God. It's forgetfulness. That we forget who God is. We forget what God has done, and then we lack the faith to live a life of faith, and we allow fear, we allow doubt, we allow anxiety, we allow all the busyness of life to crowd out the truth and the reality of who God is and what he's done. We forget the prayers that God answered. I had to remind myself this past week when our 4-year-old and 2-year-old are just not listening, not behaving well. And I'm like, we prayed for 4 years for this child. And God, you answered this prayer, right? As we're about to have another child, she's 38 weeks pregnant. I'm like, we prayed for these children. We prayed for these. As last night when Eden is up in the middle of the night multiple times, I'm like, God, we prayed for this. We prayed for her, and we are so thankful for them. But without that posture, that attitude, choosing to be grateful and remembering that we prayed for them, our children can just become a lot of problems. Our children can be nuisances, and yes, they cause us to miss sleep and peace and sometimes, but ultimately they are a gift and a joy from the Lord. We forget the doors that God has opened. We forget the grace that he provided, the forgiveness that he extended. We forget so often what God has done. So what should we remember? Remember the crisis that God carried you through. You know, I have to stop and conscientiously think to remember all the things that God has brought me through in my life. All the horrible situations, all the terrible times where I didn't think I was going to make it through, yet God brought me through. And I know many of you have those same stories that God has brought you through crisis. God has brought you through pain, through grief, through loss, through suffering. God has brought you through. Yet we forget. So let's remember what God has done. Remember how he's provided. Remember how he's healed. Remember how he's given us so much to move us to where we are today. King David continues in verse 3. He says, he forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. The fact that Jesus died on the cross, was buried and rose from the dead, that he forgives our sins, that even if God never answers another prayer we pray, the empty tomb is more than enough. That he did what he needed to do for us to live a life of gratitude, of joy, of thanksgiving, because he forgives all our sins. He heals our diseases. He redeems us. Every single one of us was on a path to death, and God came and intervened. Now we get to have eternal life because of Jesus Christ. And he crowns us not with punishment as we deserve. He crowns us with love and tender mercies. That's what God does. God took the punishment. Jesus bore the crown of thorns on himself and gives us a crown of love and tender mercy. Yeah, he was perfect, and we fall short in sin all too often. In verse 5, he says, he fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. If we would stop for just a moment, and I encourage you every single day, one of the prayers I try to do on a daily basis is, God, I just say, thank you, God, that I can wake up today. God, thank you, I can breathe without a ventilator or on a machine. God, thank you that I have eyes to see my beautiful family, and I can drive wherever I want to. I can pretty much go to any store and buy anything I want because we live in a country and a place of such abundance. We have so much to be thankful for, that we can walk on our legs, that we have arms to embrace and hug one another. There's so much that we have, so many good things that the Lord has filled with our lives. In verse 7, it says, he revealed his character to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. Verse 9, he will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. Every one of us deserves to be treated harshly by God, but he chooses not to punish us, but to bear that punishment on himself. Verse 11, his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. It cannot get moved any further away. He separates us from our sins because he took the weight of our sins upon himself. He took and paid the price for our sins. In verse 13, the Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. Now, most of us view God, at least we start off this way, we view God, our heavenly father, through the lens of how we view our earthly father. So if you had an earthly father who was abusive, berating, overbearing, controlling, rude to you, you often view God with that same lens. Or maybe you had a father who was not present. He didn't show up at your sporting events. He was absent altogether. Often we view God through that same lens of, God, where are you? Can I count on you? Can I trust you? And we have to shift our focus of not viewing God through the lens of our earthly father, but seeing God as who he truly is, a perfect, loving father. And I know for me, when I grew up and I became a Christian, that was new to me. I had to learn the attributes of God. I had to learn who God was as a loving, perfect father who cares for me, who is tender and compassionate. That's not typical of many of our upbringings. And he uses this word, this phrase, for those who fear him. Now, that fear is not the fear of punishment, but rather a fear of reverence, of awe, of God is so great, he's so loving, he's so mighty, he's so merciful, that it's such an awe-inspiring, such gratitude and gratefulness that we have fear in a healthy sense. There's a healthy fear of the Lord, and there's an unhealthy fear of the Lord as well, when we're afraid that he's going to punish us, which we're going to look at in a little bit. But he says he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Verse 15, our days on earth are like grass, like wildflowers. We bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone as though we had never been here. How many of you know life is short? Some days you're like, when is this day ever going to end? But overall, our lives are short. If you got kids, grandkids, like, you know how quick it goes. We get told all the time, it goes by so fast. And like, yes, we have a son who's driving. It's like, it goes by fast, and our lives are just like this. They're like grass, wildflowers. We bloom, we die, the wind blows, and we're gone. Like, there's encouragement coming. Just hold on, I promise. But without the reality of our perspective, we can go through life thinking everything's about us rather than seeing that our lives really have very little meaning unless we do something with them. I love what Amy shared about. She's raising men of God. That's generational. We're raising men and women of God in our family. That's generational. That goes beyond just the here and now or my life. But what's going to last beyond? Well, verse 17 says, "The love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him." Again, that healthy fear of the Lord, that knowing his love, knowing his mercy, knowing his compassion, knowing his character, is that it leads us to fearing the Lord in a healthy and appropriate way. And the love of the Lord remains forever. The love that God has, the act of what he did for salvation, remains forever. Jesus is our greatest reason for gratitude. At the center of thankfulness is Jesus. The reason that we can have eternal life is because of Jesus. The reason we are forgiven, we are loved, we are adopted. The reason we have hope is because of Jesus. The greatest gift God could ever give wasn't a thing. It was his own son, Jesus. So I want to encourage every mother here today that what you are doing matters. You may never get a thank you. You may never get appreciated by the people and family that raised you. Maybe you have grown children and you never felt like they appreciated you or cared about what you did. I want to tell you, God sees. God knows. God sees the pain in your heart. God sees the sacrifice, the sleepless nights, the weeping and crying for your children that you gave. God sees it. He knows. And I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you. If nobody ever else says thank you, thank you. We honor you. We bless you. I pray today would be a day of joy, would be a day of gratitude. And no matter what happens the rest of this year, you can know that God sees you, God loves you, God knows that you are blessed by him. Before you were a mom, you were a daughter. Before you became a mother, or even if you desire to be a mother and you haven't had that happen yet, you're a daughter first and foremost. That God is a perfect heavenly father. And he wants you to know that your value and your identity comes from him. Not in what you do, not in what you produce, not in whether you work or not. It's in whether you follow him, you spend time with him, and ultimately that's where your value comes from. Gratitude does not ignore pain. It does not ignore the hardships. It magnifies his grace. It magnifies God's grace when we choose to have gratitude over the hardships and through the difficult circumstances. But before we can really become children of God, I'm going to read to you Proverbs 24, verse 16. It's the last verse. This proverb, it's a wise saying. It says, "A man who is right with God falls seven times and rises again, but the sinful fall in time of trouble." Before anything else can happen, the most important thing that any of us can do is choose to have a relationship with God the Father. Now, many times we think we have to get cleaned up first. We have to be made right first. We have to do all these steps, all these things to be made right with God. Excuse me. But this says a man is made right with God. And actually, the Bible says consistently that the Lord gives righteousness. The Lord is the only one who can make you right with him. Righteousness is to be in right standing with God. Now, we try really hard to be in right standing with God, but ultimately, apart from Jesus, apart from his sacrifice, we can never be made right with God in our own strength, in our own doing, in our own abilities. This verse actually says, the righteous are the one who falls down seven times and they get back up again. So maybe you're here today and you feel like you've fallen down, you've failed, you've sinned, you've fallen short. Guess what? We all have. The only difference in the righteous and the wicked is the wicked stay down. The righteous get back up again. You can't fall down if you're laying down. You got to get back up. So it doesn't mean you have to be perfect. It means you got to keep getting back up, and it's the Lord who makes you right. It's not your doing, but the Lord gives righteousness. He gives his grace. He gives you the empowerment to lift you up, to rise up, and to continue on taking one day, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year at a time, doing the next right thing before you. I invite you to actually stand to your feet as I want to close in prayer. But I want to offer you this right now. If you're here today and you feel like you've messed up too much, you've fallen down, you're not good enough to get back up, I want to offer you today the reality that you cannot make yourself good enough, but God can. God can give you righteousness. He can put you in right standing with Him. I want to pray. I just offer you in this moment, in this posture of prayer, whatever posture you want to take, you want to open your hands, bow your head, close your eyes. I want to pray for you. If you're here today and you say, I've fallen down again. I've stumbled again. I've fallen back into some sin. I need to get made right with God. It simply is asking Him to give you that grace, to lift you up once again, to choose to dedicate your life to Jesus. If you've never done that, or you know you need to recommit, rededicate your life to Jesus, I want you to do that right now. To simply say, Jesus, I know I've sinned. I know I've fallen short. I feel like I keep falling down over and over and over again. One step forward, two steps back. I want to tell you something today. God wants to set you free out of behavior modification, out of just trying to get ahead, just surviving, to having a life of freedom, a life of victory, a life that's going to set you free for the rest of eternity, that you get to experience that freedom here and now. So if that's you, I just want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray for every person in this room, everyone watching online that maybe doesn't have a relationship with you, but they want to. They want to know you. They want to give their lives to you. They need help, God. They need your grace to pick them up. One more time, one more time. Every time they get knocked down, God, that you would lift them again, that your grace would be upon them. Father, I pray that for every single one of us, God, that we would know where we would be without you. God, apart from you, we have nothing good within us. That, God, we have sin in our lives. We fall down. We fall short. God, may we confess our sin to you. May we repent and turn from our sin and turn to you as you lift us up. With your grace, with your mercy, that you crown us with love and tender compassion. God, I pray for anyone in this room that needs to make that decision, they would make it today. They would choose to follow you. They would choose to stop trying to earn your love, but God, trust that you already love them, that you would adopt them as sons or daughters of yours. God, I pray for every single one of us that we would see the things that we've prayed for, that you've answered. We'd remember all the good that we have in our lives, that we would choose to live lives of gratitude. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. You can be seated. I have a couple mentions. If you made that decision, you want to dedicate your life to Jesus, you can actually fill out on our website. You can do that for anyone watching online. You can tap your phone to the tap card on the seat back in front of you and just fill out the information. We want to help you take your next step. We have water baptisms we've scheduled every month or so. So we're going to be planning more water baptisms coming up. We want you to get signed up. But we got to fill out that card saying, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. And we'll follow up with you with your next steps. Speaking of next steps, next Sunday, May 17th, we have next steps after the 11 a.m. service. If you want to learn more about Freedom Church, we help you identify what gifting, what personality styles you have, and how God has uniquely gifted you. Will help you identify your next steps next Sunday. We do encourage you to get signed up because we provide food and childcare and need to know how much to provide for that next Sunday. Also next Sunday is going to be child dedications. We have two families right now going to be dedicating their children. The way we do it here at Freedom Church is we let parents decide that they want to dedicate their children to the Lord. Doesn't mean the child is saved. It means they're choosing to raise their child to know God, to honor God, to do everything they can within their household to raise their children to be men or women of God. So we have child dedications available next Sunday. If you want to sign up, you still can. We ask that you do it today so we have all week to make sure we're prepared for you next Sunday. Also, for all the moms, all the women 18 and over, we have a gift for you out the back doors to the left. It's right in the hallway on the table. They're charcuterie cups from a local business called Board and Bites. It's just a gift we want to put in your hands. I think there's some little kids going to be handing those out to you. So if a kid offers you free food, just take it. It's a nice little gift basket we want to put in your hands. Also, there's a photo wall in the cafe. So out the back to the left in our cafe, there's a photo wall. It's all self-explanatory, touchscreen. If you can't figure it out, get somebody young. Maybe they'll help you figure it out. But take some photos, hang out, enjoy the day. And I just want to speak a blessing over all the mothers. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the moms. God, that none of us would be here without our moms, God. So we thank you for them. We thank you for all the stepmoms, all the adoptive moms, foster moms, spiritual moms, grandmoms. God, we thank you for them. We just pray your blessing upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great rest of your day. See you next week.